Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about faith and the power of faith, the power of your own faith. And after the days of awe and the fast of Yom Kippur, I believe we're in a better position to serve the Lord. A renewal comes to us. It's like a fresh start. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and we confess our sins and we also confess our faith in Messiah Yeshua, for me, I experienced a great confidence in God's forgiveness and the reality of the atonement that Yeshua has accomplished for me. And at the same time, I found myself being more alert and more sensitive to God's perfect holiness, and it refreshed my desire to serve him more according to his righteousness. I also noticed that the Lord wanted me to listen more and act on what I'm hearing from him, and I also felt he was showing me that he wants to save many people. He wants to rescue people. He wants to deliver people. He wants to bring people out of unbelief, out of darkness, out of disobedience, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And I thought a lot also about how my life would have been different if I had not come to the Lord. And I was considering, in just imagining, a pretty different life that would also be a pretty miserable life. And I was so grateful for the Lord that he reached out to me, that he cared enough about me to come after me when I didn't even know who he was, and to pursue me when I was not pursuing him. The days of awe are awesome. Now, what the Lord put in my heart for you tonight is something very simple and I hope something very clear. And that is, God wants to speak to your spirit. He wants you to pay attention to the words of faith that he gives to you, the things that he shows you that he wants to do, not necessarily the things that you asked him first to bless. Have you ever made plans? They didn't go so well, and so you spent time praying, God, bless my plans? I'm not talking about that. Or have you ever gotten something in your mind where you really wanted it, and then it didn't come to you? And then you prayed, Lord, give it to me? I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about something else, and that is where you spend time in fellowship with the Lord, and he starts telling you things that are on his heart. And maybe they had not even been on your heart or your mind. Maybe you hadn't even noticed them. Maybe you hadn't even cared about them. It was clearly his idea. And what he's wanting from you is to say yes to him. When we were worshiping, I remembered an incident like that, two incidents, actually. I'll tell you the first one. I was driving home from work decades ago, probably close to 40 years, and I saw this unkempt, gray-haired man walking down the street with sort of matted beard and hair, and he looked like a homeless fellow to me. And I felt I heard the Lord say, stop and give him $20. And so I just kept driving. And I made excuses, you know, like, well, I think I just made that up. But it wouldn't go away. I had this feeling I need to stop. So I just kept going. I didn't want to stop. It wasn't my idea. I kept going, and the further I went, the more disgusted I got with myself. And I finally got to the point where I couldn't imagine going home in that condition of self-disgust. And so I turned around and I decided, okay, I'm gonna do it. And I came a few blocks back thinking, you know, this guy who's just sort of lumbering along, I wasn't sure if he was sober or straight or whatever. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was lying on the sidewalk, just passed out. I just evaluated him that way. Well, I came back around, and he was nowhere to be found. He was not there. And I had this terrible feeling, what if he was an angel? And I'd said no to God. Well, in any case, I was disgusted. Disgusted with myself because I hadn't responded when the Lord showed me. And I'd heard all these sermons when I was a new believer about the God of second chances. And so I said, what about this? And I felt the Lord said, I don't always give second chances. And then I felt terrible. And I learned something from that. And I drove home, I felt awful, I told Sandy about it. And as much as I would like to forget it, it comes back to me. And I will never know what I missed. I know what I learned, but I'll never know what I missed. I'll never know the opportunity that I missed. The Holy Spirit didn't bring that to mind while we were worshiping. He brought another incident to mind where Sandy and I were in Tampa, and we were at Village Inn. How many of you know that restaurant chain? Yeah, they serve pancakes and stuff. And we were there for a conference, and while we were there, a family came in. They didn't look very prosperous, and they had three or four teenage or young adult children with them who were developmentally disabled. It was very clear. They sat down to eat there, and it looked like this was a big deal for them to be there to eat. And I can't remember whether they thanked the Lord, you know, whether they prayed before they ate or not. I can't remember what happened, but I took notice of them, and I couldn't ignore them. And when we were leaving, the Holy Spirit said to me, buy their meal. And instead of ignoring that, instead of saying it wasn't my idea, or how do you go about doing that, I just said yes to the Lord. And I found the manager of the restaurant, and I said to him, I don't know how to make this work, but do you see that family over there? I want to pay for their meal. And he said, well, give me your credit card, and I will fill it out, and you can come back later, and I'll give you the receipt. And he said, are these friends of yours? And I said, I've never seen him before in my life. And he said, why are you doing this? And I said, it's kind of hard to explain. So that night after the conference meeting, I came back to the restaurant to pick up my receipt, and the manager was still there. And he handed me the receipt, and he was all choked up. And I said, thank you. And he said, let me tell you what happened. I went to them and told them that their meal was paid for. And they asked who paid for it, and I said, I don't know. I don't know the person, and they don't know you. And the whole family just began to cry. And then he began to cry, telling me this. And then I began to cry. And, you know, I'm not... You know, it's, you know me, I'm not that weepy. That's not one of my normal responses. And he just said to me, the manager just said, thank you. And I was thinking, thank you for taking care of it. And I left. And instead of being disgusted, you know what? I thank the Lord. Now, they don't know who I am, this family. I don't think they'll ever know. That's not the point. The point was not, what do I get out of this? But the point is, I felt the Lord was showing me to do something that he wanted done for his reasons, and I just said yes to it. The feeling that comes when I remember the first incident where I ignored the Lord, it's still self-disgust. I don't beat myself up. I don't feel, you know, like, oh, I'm a terrible person. But I think I missed that opportunity. I have no way of knowing what God could have done or wanted to do, and I will never know, as far as I can tell. But the second occasion, and this second occasion was the one the Holy Spirit actually reminded me of. He didn't remind me of the first occasion tonight. I just remembered it because I thought, oh, what I missed. But I learned something from that first occasion, and that was on the second occasion to do it. Not to rationalize, not to hold back, not to wonder how expensive it is, what it's going to cost me. Whatever resources I had, they belong to the Lord. And I can look back at that moment and I can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, not for giving me a second chance. Thank you, Lord, that you still speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that you care. And I think the main thing from the Lord about that family with all those developmentally disabled children, it had nothing to do with me. It had to do with them. He wanted to bless them. He was interested in showing them mercy. He wasn't interested in me having a relationship with them. He wasn't interested in me getting anything out of it. He was interested in showing his mercy to them. And I feel like the Lord simply gave me the opportunity to do that, to show his mercy. They'll never remember me. They will remember him and his mercy. And I was thinking about Yom Kippur. I was thinking how we fast and we pray. At the end of the fast, I was thinking of every food I like to eat. And I was trying to figure out how I could eat it all. But I went home and I made scrambled eggs instead, which was actually good for me. And I kept it really simple. But at Yom Kippur, there's a cleansing. We spend time confessing our sin. Not just that, though, because we have a Redeemer. So we spend time thanking the Lord for being our great Redeemer, for loving us and caring about us, for knowing us and being so faithful to us, for rescuing us when we couldn't rescue ourselves. And those two things work together, and they produce, I believe, cleansing for us that enables us to have a fresh start. And I believe as we're going through Yom Kippur and as we complete it, if we're really sincere, we're in a new position. We're in a cleaner position to hear from the Lord. And maybe this happened with you. Maybe something happened with you where during the days of awe, the Holy Spirit began to speak to you something. Maybe it didn't make sense. Maybe it wasn't what was on your heart or on your mind. And maybe it was exactly what was on your heart and your mind. But if you heard something from the Lord, I want to encourage you, pay serious attention to it. As I was preparing this, I was thinking, oh man, how am I going to fit this into the Torah portion? Usually I read the Torah portion and then I try to figure out what to say. But this time I felt like I knew what to say and I was trying to figure out where on earth can I find this in the Torah portion? And it wasn't until a few hours ago, I remembered the name of the Torah portion, Haazinu, which means give ear or listen. And then I thought, wow, what a great Torah portion. Listen. Listen. And when it says listen, the first verse is so simple. Listen, heavens, and I will speak. Listen, earth, the words of my mouth. The Lord is saying to the whole created universe, listen to me. And when God says listen, he means not only to physically hear, but to pay attention. But not only to take notice, not only to perceive, but to do what the Lord chose that he wants to do. To listen with the intention of action. I was thinking about that great book after the four Gospels. What's it called? The Good Intentions of the Apostles. No, the Acts of the Apostles. What they did. And what they did was a result of the faith that came to them day by day. Not their principled faith, but their concrete faith that came by hearing something from the Lord that they then put right into practice. This whole passage from Deuteronomy tells us something. We have the capacity to hear from God. You have a spirit. Your spirit can hear. Your spirit can connect with the Lord. Most of the time, we respond to things and we interact with circumstances based on our feelings, based on our thoughts and our experiences, but there's a whole other response type, which is from your spirit. And it's not just a perception, it's something else. It's we have fellowship with God and we draw close to him, and during that time, he shows us what he wants to do. It's different from what we want to do. It's why Yeshua said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and you so prove to be my disciples. So there is a kind of communication from God's spirit to our spirit that reveals his will into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And it's not that you need to suppress your heart or your emotions or to suppress your thoughts or to act like those are unimportant. Don't hear this as a message for super spirituality. It's something else. It's with your heart and with your mind and with your spirit, you'll love God. And so it turns out that it's with the renewed, reborn spirit that we actually can love God and that we come into integrity, into wholeness. If your spirit hasn't been touched by God, if you haven't been born again, then your mind and your heart, your thoughts and your emotions and everything that has to do with your soul will be incomplete or even incongruent with itself. But when your spirit and your heart and your mind are integrated into one thing, into one way of working, God can speak to you about what he desires to do, and it can have such a profound impact on you. You see, God's desires are the very things that become faith to us. Hebrews 11, verse 1 puts it this way. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, and that's a very unusual idea, the evidence, the proof, the conviction, the assurance. You see, what kind of faith is this talking about? It's that faith that Romans talks about, the faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. By our abiding with the Lord and our abiding in his word, he'll speak to us something that can change everything. It's not limited by yesterday. It's not based on what's going on today. It has to do with how he sees things. And he can reveal to us and to our hearts and to our minds his desires. And this becomes a kind of evidence. That's what I want to tell you. There are times when maybe you're in a difficult situation or a disappointment even, and the Spirit of God wants to get your attention, but you're lost in your feelings or lost in your thoughts. And then you feel stuck, like that situation cannot change. And so I just have to perceive all this disappointment. I have to perceive all the circumstances. And if I understand correctly, the writer of Hebrews is saying there's another kind of evidence when God speaks to you. It's evidence of what he wants to do. The fact that he speaks to you is evidence. Now, can you misrepresent the voice of God? Of course, everyone's had that experience where we decided something we wanted to do, we attributed it to God, and when it didn't work out, we thought, well, what's wrong with God? Instead of saying, that's what I did. We've come up with plans, and then we've asked God to bless them rather than spending time with him, receiving his plans, and moving in those, and us saying yes and blessing his plans. The faith he gives us is a kind of evidence. It is real. And I want to use an example from the book of Acts, chapter 3. And I'm reading from the Jewish New Testament translation by David Stern, or the Complete Jewish Bible. One afternoon at 3 o'clock, the hour of Mincha prayers, as Kepha and Yochanan, Peter and John, were going up to the temple, the Jerusalem temple. A man crippled since birth was being carried in. Every day people used to put him at the beautiful gate of the temple so that he could beg from those going into the temple court. And when he saw Kepha and Yochanan about to enter, he asked them for some money. You see, every day, people who cared about him took him there to beg for alms, to beg for benevolence, for charity. And every day, this is what he expected, alms for the poor and alms for the needy. And he expected some people would have pity on him and give some money because he had no means of working. And so Kepha and Yochanan come in and he asked them for some money. He asked them for money. And they looked straight at him and Kepha said, look at us. And the crippled man fixed his attention on them and he expected to receive something from them. And Kepha said, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, walk. And taking hold of him by his right hand, Kepha pulled him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong so that he sprang up, stood a moment, and then he began walking. And then he entered the temple court with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Everyone saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who had formerly sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were utterly amazed and they were confounded about what happened to him. And while he clung to Kepha and Yochanan, all the people came running in astonishment toward them in Solomon's colonnade. And seeing this, Kepha addressed the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this, or why do you stare at us as if we made this man walk through some power or godliness of our own? The God of Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Yeshua, the same Yeshua you handed over and disowned before Pilate, even after he decided to release him. You denied the holy and innocent one, and instead you asked for the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life. But God has raised him from the dead. Of this we are eyewitnesses. And it's through putting trust in his name that his name has given strength to this man whom you see and know. Yes, it is the trust that comes through Yeshua which has given him this perfect healing in the presence of you all. You can keep reading and you'll see that Peter says, this is the time to repent. It's the time to turn to God. It's the time to receive forgiveness of your sins so that times of refreshing can come to you. And it keeps going. This never would have happened if Yochanan, if Kepha, if Peter and John had not taken the time to listen to the Lord and then to do what he said. They had to pay attention to someone who they might easily have ignored. They had to change their way of thinking so that they didn't just say, it's a day like every day. And whatever happened yesterday, that's what's going to happen today. And whatever happens today, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. They had to remember that God is greater than. He's not limited by yesterday. Today can hold something surprising. The evidence may not be visible before you. In this case, it was the same lame, crippled man begging as he had all those days and years. Nothing had changed. What changed? The Lord's instruction to these two men, Peter and John. The Lord says, I want you to want this. I want you to do what I want you to do. Was there any risk? Yeah. I can tell you, I've seen a lot of people who have tried to get those things to happen. They go to crippled people and they want to see them healed. And they say, get up and walk. The Lord's going to heal you right now. And then nothing happens. So you have to wrestle with that. You have to know that these men were spending time with the Lord. They weren't coming up with new ideas. They were doing what the Lord was showing them to do. And I can assure you of something. If you will spend time with the Lord and if you will be responsive to him, he will give you assignments to show his mercy, to act in a way that he comes up with, not that you come up with. It may cost you something. Now, let me say it another way. It will cost you something. Number one, obedience. This is what it will cost you. It will cost you doing that which the Lord shows you to do and not looking for another plan. I believe that God wants to work through you. And in these days after Yom Kippur, he's ready to give you assignments. I feel the same for me. It's not just for you. I think it's for us. He wants to use us in situations. And if you believe God wants to reveal himself to someone, I want to encourage you to pray. Pray, Lord, what do you want to do? Or even to say, Lord, I've been praying for this person. I feel you want to do something for them. And so here I am. I'm ready to serve you. Show me what to do. When you ask God to give you that kind of direction, you know what? He'll get real concrete with you. And as you do it, he'll do what he wants to do. And it'll make a difference. You can become a powerful servant of God and an instrument of God's mercy. You might say to yourself, well, I can't do that, or I'm not a rabbi. Listen. It has nothing to do with who you are. Do you remember what Peter and John said? Don't think this has to do with us. It has to do with the God of our fathers, who's full of mercy. Well, I want to pray for you because I believe there's a word that's stirring in many of you already. You came already here with something that you needed to process, and I want to pray that you'll be faithful to it. Lord, I thank you for your word of faith. I thank you that you speak to us, and you show us what you want to do, and you speak to our spirits that we could know what you want to do, and we can say yes to you. We can say, Hineni, here I am, send me. And Lord, I pray for everyone whose attention has been focused on someone that seems like a lost cause or someone whose situation seems impossible or even that now isn't the right time because they're judging according to what their eyes see and according to visible evidence from circumstance. And I pray instead that they would see things the way you're seeing them. And they would ask for what you're wanting them to ask for. Some of you want to see people in need blessed and provided for, but the resources are far beyond you. Just ask the Lord for those resources. Ask him how much he wants to provide. Ask him for the direction. Some of you know people who are sick or their bodies are broken or they're not working right, and yet it's in your heart. You want to see something happen for them. Ask him what he wants to do. And then what he wants you to do in connection. It may simply be that you're going to start praying differently because he sees things differently. Lord, I pray for us that we would be faithful to you. And that through this faithfulness and through this asking, we would bear fruit. That would bring glory to our Father in heaven. And that would prove that we're your disciples. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let me just check. How many of you during the days of awe did feel like the Lord showed you something or answered a prayer or gave you any guidance? Could you just raise your hand and let me see? Quite a few. Good. Fantastic. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha, Yisar Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep watch over you and protect you, the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.